Well, this is kind of fun to be, speaking at home church. The circumstance is a little odd, but anyway, I'm glad that I can be here and to share with you. And if you're joining us online, glad you're with us as well. And I know Kim and I have been online. That's how we got introduced to Emmaus, online for 5 months or 6 months. You didn't know about us. We knew about you. We saw the back of Ron's head every week. It was great. We thought at some point we have to meet that man, and that has happened. So thrilled to be a part of this community, and pleased to be able to share with you this morning in this series of really growing spiritually stronger. I've decided it's time for me to get back in shape. Some of you are probably feeling the same way. You know, there's those Christmas pounds that Kim reminds me about, you know. Last night I was lying on the bed and she tapped me on the belly and goes, ooh. You know, I went, yeah, it's time. So here's what I'm going to do. I've decided, look at this, I've got 2 pound weights. I'm going to start doing, I think I may do this 2 or 3 times a day. Not every day, just a couple of days each week, and maybe one Sunday a month. You know what I mean? Because I want to get in shape. Well, that's what this whole series has been about. This series that we've been in lately is about how to get spiritually in shape. And I think if I asked you, you don't even have to be a personal fitness trainer, whatever they are, to tell me this isn't going to do me as much good as I might hope it would do, right? But we've been talking about what it means to actually lift some heavier weights and do some cross-training, spiritually speaking. And I have loved this series. I think Nate's done a phenomenal job of using images of Scripture to help us kind of dig into what it means to get spiritually in shape. The images we've looked at in Psalm 1, we talked about a tree, being like a tree that's planted by the water. And that involves meditating on God's Word. Day and night. You want to be like that tree, you've got to meditate on God's word. I thought Nate's take on Luke 8, the parable of the soils, something I'd never thought about or heard before. I always thought these soils, if you were here for it, you might remember, I always thought these soils were kind of set, that they were determined, that it just is what it is. If you have a hard heart, you have a hard heart. If there's weeds in your life, there's weeds in your life. If there's rocks and stones, there's rocks and stones. And Nate said, we can clear the soil. We can move the obstacles. You want to grow spiritually strong. You want to yield 30, 60, 100-fold in your life. You got to do some work on the soil. And that's kind of stuck with me. Last week from John 15, Nate went into this image of the vine and the branches. And we all know, it's a simple enough image for us. If the branch is cut off from the vine, it doesn't produce much fruit, doesn't produce any fruit. You got to remain. And as simple as it seems to say that, there's something profoundly significant about that. It helps build spiritual muscles. And these images have been really, really helpful to me as we've kind of walked through the last 3 weeks. And I want to take you to another image this morning. And it's the image at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's the image of building a house on the rock. If we're trees, if we are cultivating good soil, if we are branches remaining attached to the vine, we are also building a house on the rock. The Sermon on the Mount is this extraordinary message. Some of you will be familiar with it, I'm sure. It's in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, 3 chapters. Very long sermon, by terms of sermons in the New Testament. And I'm just glad that somebody was there taking notes. I don't know who was taking notes, but I'm glad somebody was, because for 2,000 years people have been meditating on this sermon. We've been thinking about this sermon. People who aren't part of the Christian faith have said, this is one of the great pieces of literature in human history. At the very least, it's that. And I think this Sermon on the Mount is this counter-cultural message that Jesus preaches that turns everything upside down. I mean, everything upside down. This sermon, if we take it to heart, is life-changing, it is culture-building, it is revolutionary. It's an extraordinary message. And when we come right to the end of that message, Jesus finishes it. And literally, he finishes it, at least as we read in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he finishes it with this analogy, an analogy that perhaps you're familiar with. Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them," that's the key, right? It's not, hey, if you hear this and think about it, if you hear it and discuss it and debate it, if you hear it and analyze it, he says, if you hear these words and do these words, then you're like a wise person who built his house on the rock. That's a spiritually strong person. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And then he switches over to the reverse. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against it. And the house fell, and great was the fall of it. And then, I don't know, Jesus just kind of, I'm done, sat down. At least that's where the notes finish for us, right? Here's the punchline. Spiritually strong people embrace and live out the countercultural values of the kingdom of God. That's how we build a house on the rock. You hear the words of Jesus and you do the words of Jesus and you build a house on the rock. You become spiritually strong. So here's the thing that I've been picking up in this whole series, and it's been playing on my mind quite a bit. Because I'm inclined to look around and see people who are, they're trees of the faith. And I just go, oh man, you know, I wish I was a tree. Or I look around people who are just so productive and go, oh man, I just wish I had soil that ran deep like that. Or I look around, I see people who just love Jesus, talk about Jesus all the time. I go, oh man, I wish I was just attached to Jesus like that, right? These are spiritually strong people because when the wind and the rain comes against their house, they seem to stand firm. Man, I just wish I was like that. And these things are pictures of the spiritually strong person, but these things are also the ways that we become spiritually strong people. It's not just a picture of what is, it's a picture of how we get there as well. Meditating on Scripture, tending to the soil, holding to Jesus, and now in the Sermon on the Mount, building a house on the rock. As a kid, I grew up in Sydney, Australia. You probably can't tell. I was actually born in Perth on the west coast, ended up growing up in Sydney, and used to spend a lot of time down the beach. Great beaches around Sydney, and I'd go down there and love to be in the surf. And one of the things that every now and then, not very often, but every now and then, there would be a sandbar formed just off the beach. And if you've ever been to the coast, you might have had this same kind of experience. You go down and literally 30, 40 yards out, maybe at least from here to the back of the room, maybe even further out than that, and there would be this deep channel. Almost overnight, these sandbars could form. And there'd be a deep channel, and the beach would drop off very quickly, and you'd swim through that because the water was kind of pretty manageable there. And then suddenly, you'd be 30 yards out there, and you'd be standing on a sandbar that's knee-deep. It was kind of cool. It was a lot of fun, and you're standing there, and there's the beach, and here's the waves crashing in, and we love to go and just stand on the sandbars. But there was always a word of caution. People were always warning us, hey, the sandbar can disappear almost as quickly as it appeared. If the surf rises suddenly, the sandbar could go just as quickly. We always knew that the sand was precarious. Well, you've probably seen photos of homes built on the sand. There's a picture that maybe will pop up on our screen for us in a moment. You know, if this was your place, you might be a little disappointed. I hope nobody was injured in that experience right there. But I've looked at that house and I thought, you know what, that's a pretty decent house. Somebody took time to gather the resources. Somebody built that house. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody even lived in that house for a while. But it was always a precarious thing. Because when the storm came, when the wind came up and the rain came down and the floods arrived, that house was destined for destruction. That's the picture that Jesus is painting. So you can get the materials together that everyone around you looks at and goes, oh, pretty decent house. That's a nice looking place. And maybe you're living in that house just fine for a little while until the winds come down or come up, the rains come down and the floods do some damage to the foundation. And suddenly we realize that we haven't been building on the rock at all. And so we come back to the Sermon on the Mount. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. I want to be that guy. I think you, at some level, want to be that person as well. The spiritually strong person. And I'm going to come to the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to deal with this in about 5 to 7 minutes, the whole thing. If you didn't get a card, look onto somebody who does. If you've got to look over the pew in front of you, the row in front of you, have a look at this. This is the whole Sermon on the Mount, right here. Now, given it, these are my like little notes on the Sermon on the Mount, but this is it right here. And Jesus surprises us. He stands up on this little hillside overlooking we call it the Sea of Galilee. It's not even half the size of Tahoe. I've stood in the place where they think it might have been, where he gave this sermon a couple of years ago. In fact, right before COVID, I just got back as I was shutting down the country 2 years ago. And Jesus opens his mouth, and he doesn't have a funny story to start with. He doesn't have any cute little personal anecdotes. He just says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those of you who mourn. You will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, or the gentle, depending on how you want to translate that word. For they shall inherit the earth. And in that moment, everybody knows they're in for something different. This is not the teaching of our culture. The culture says, blessed are the powerful, the famous, and the successful. Blessed are the powerful, famous, and successful, for they will never have to worry about financial security. Blessed are the powerful, famous, and successful, because people will be attracted to them and want to be around them. Blessed are the powerful, famous, and successful, because they and their children and their children's children will inherit the earth. They will have a legacy, and they will own the place. That's the teaching of our culture. And Jesus has barely opened his mouth, and already people are hearing something quite different. I'm a sucker for the message of the culture. And on my lowest and my worst days, the themes of power, fame, and success, which are the common temptations for all of us as human beings, those messages sound the loudest in my ears. And the message of the Sermon on the Mount says there's a different way, there's a better way to build. Because surprise, surprise, power, fame, and success is sand building. Poor in spirit, mourning, and meekness is rock building. And so the sermon goes. I'm not going to take very long. Have a look at this. You know what I'm going to invite you to do in the next couple of minutes? And if you're online, maybe we can post this online for you at some point in time. Hopefully you can follow the screens. As I zip through a couple of these things, if there are one or two of these things that stand out to you, make at least a mental note, if not a little hand note. And go, that's something I want to meditate on day and night this week. And here's how it goes. You've heard it was said, do not murder, says Jesus. I tell you, don't be angry with your brother. Or contemptuous. You see, it can look good to say, well, I've never murdered anybody. But you ever been angry with anybody? You ever been contemptuous of people? I mean, to where you kind of just, it was more than disagreed with them. You dislike them at a visceral level. And you tear them down outside their earshot. You do everything to make them less than a person. Jesus says, Don't be angry, don't be contemptuous. There are those who will take their offering to the Lord and want to look very pious in doing it. And Jesus says, hey, if you're presenting your offering to the Lord, and there remember that your brother has something against you, just go ahead and leave your offering. I mean, just stop right there. Walk out of the temple, because that's where you bring offerings. Walk out of the temple and go and fix up things with your brother and then come back. Because false piety does not impress God. Well, it impresses me. When I see people with Bibles and carrying things in public and wanting to talk about their Christian faith and popping into church from time to time, that gives me hope about them. Jesus says, you want to build on the rock? Get right with others first. Our culture says, if somebody sues you, you counter-sue. That's what you do. You take them to the cleaner. You use the courts to get your way. Jesus says, why don't you just go ahead and befriend your legal adversary? If somebody's going to take you to court, why don't you try and get right with them on the way to court? Do the right thing. Well, I'd rather take my chance in court with a smart lawyer than befriend that person. Okay, that's fine. That's building on the sand. Jesus says, you want to build on the rock? This is the way you do it. Don't commit adultery. Every culture has said that. Nobody likes adultery. No culture. The common things to culture are don't murder, don't commit adultery. I mean, this is not news. But Jesus says, hey, don't look lustfully at another person. Ooh, really? Yeah, you want to build on the rock? Then you make a commitment of the heart to not look lustfully. Fellas, not look lustfully at women. Women, not look lustfully at men. Our culture says divorce is okay. You know, if you're married here today, chances are 50-50 that you'll make it. That's the word of our culture. And we've kind of bought into this so much so that it's a coin toss. Our marriages are coin tosses. We want it to work out, but if it doesn't work out, well, I guess 50% of them don't work out. So what did I really expect anyway? Well, you want to go into a marriage with that kind of mentality? Fine. It'll be a marriage. It'll be a house, but it's on sand. And when the rain comes down and the wind picks up and the floods come in, that marriage will be in trouble. Jesus says divorce hurts everyone. By the way, quick little side note here. This is where we find what we call the exception clause. Anyone who divorces his wife except for the cause or the sake of unchastity, some versions say, or unfaithfulness, we would say adultery, causes her to become an adulteress. That's a whole other story. And some people have said, well, there is one time when it's okay to get divorced, when my partner is unfaithful to me. Okay, you want to take that position, that's all right. What did Jesus just say about looking lustfully at another person? He just says, if you look lustfully at another person, you've committed adultery with them already in your heart. Oh. So just when I want to hold over Kim, this adultery is the one cause, and I find out she's been unfaithful to me, just when I want to hold that over her because I'm so hurt by that, and I feel justified by Scripture now to walk out of the marriage, maybe she can point to me the next verse and say, David, do you ever look lustfully on another person? You're an adulterer too. Oh, yeah, I have no grounds for divorce, right? The world says everyone breaks their word. Hey, I promise. And then doesn't keep it. Jesus says your word is your bond. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. The world says defend yourself. Hey, go out, arm yourself. I mean, protect yourself. You do whatever it takes to defend you and your family, and that's the way it should be. That's the right way for you to be and right way for you to think. And Jesus says, actually, don't resist him who is evil. I mean, literally, that's his words. Don't resist him who is evil. What? Seriously? I could get hurt If I take that position seriously, it could hurt me. The world says love your neighbor. There's nothing new about that. Jesus says love your enemy. Really? I think I'll just be doing well to love my neighbor. Okay. Houses do get built on the sand. They just don't last. You can take that position. Jesus says, hey, take credit. Get credit for good works. You're going to give money. You're going to pray. Let people know about it. You're going to fast. And here we are coming up toward Lent. Hey, let everyone know that you're fasting. Tell them that this is your Lenten fast. Tell them that this is 40 days of fasting. Tell them that you've given up this, that, and something else. Tell them what a sacrificial spiritual giant you really are. And Jesus says, just keep it to yourself. Do these things in secret. Let your Heavenly Father take care of the reward. Don't talk up your spirituality. Keep it to yourself. Culture says keep score. Jesus says forgive lavishly. Culture says save your money. Protect your money. Make money, save money. You know, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. You know, that's kind of the way it is. Jesus says, no, just serve God. Culture says, you know, you're right to worry about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat and where you're going to sleep and all that. Jesus says, no, you're not right to do those things. Don't worry about those things. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Culture says, speak your mind. It's okay to be critical. Everyone's critical, especially online, especially on social media. You know, if you can't handle the truth, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. And culture justifies the critical spirit. And Jesus says, don't judge. Don't judge. Culture says, you're special. And you're the most special person. Jesus says, well, actually, you're not. Treat everyone else like they're the special person you want to be treated like. That's the way it works. Finally, he says, culture says follow the crowd. If everyone's doing it, it must be right. If the majority agree, then it must be good. Follow the crowd. And Jesus says, actually, there is a broad way and it leads to destruction. Choose the narrow gate. Choose the narrow path. Swim against the tide. That's how you build on the rock. Finally, culture says, look at the celebrities. Look at the people who look great and look important. Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we perform miracles in your name? And he says, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. And I interpret that to mean, hey, don't follow celebrities. Follow the lives that are fruitful. Friends, if you dig into this Sermon on the Mount, it will challenge you as it challenges me at every turn. Because the culture that I'm a part of, and I happen to be at a Christian university, it's still the culture I'm a part of is a left column culture. The messages I hear and see on social media every day, every week, are left column messages. And Jesus says, hey, there's a different way. You want to build a house on the rock? It's going to be entirely different. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. I've got to finish up. And I want to finish up by saying this is impossible. This is impossible. I mean, I get it. I know what Jesus is saying. But between you and me, it's impossible. You can't do this. I can't do this. I want to. I think I want to at some level. I want to build my house on the rock, but it's not possible. Not in my own strength. Not in my own strength. How do we live countercultural lives? Here's an analogy. I want to finish with this, and maybe this will be helpful to you as it is to me. When Jesus says, hey, I want you to live this way instead of that way, it's like he's asking me to take this piece of paper and throw it across the platform. And I get it and I go, and that's about as much progress as I make. So I pick up my piece of paper and I go, I just wasn't trying hard enough. And I'll be careful because I do have a torn rotator cuff, but I want to throw it a little harder. And that's pretty much what happens. that every time I try, and the harder that I try to throw this piece of paper across the platform, the less effective I seem to be. One step forward, two steps back. And there's a reason why that doesn't do so well. And there are probably a whole bunch of reasons. I'm not a scientist. But I think among those reasons is simply resistance. This thing wants to catch the air and resist the forward momentum. There is a way I can do it. And that is if I simply take that same piece of paper and put a few folds in it, and suddenly I want to go across the platform. Oh, sorry. Way better than I expected. Right, you can keep that. I thought it's going to take someone's eye out. There'll be a lawsuit. Hey, don't sue. Just make friends with you on the way to court, right? There is a way to do it, and that is to actually embrace a whole different set of laws, the laws of aerodynamics. See, there was a time very quickly when the Apostle Paul, I think, was trying hard to live out the Sermon on the Mount in his own strength. And it wasn't going terribly well. You can read about it, I think, in Romans chapter 7, where Paul says, hey, the things I wanted to do, I wasn't doing. The things I didn't want to do, I was doing those things. And he throws his hands up in the air at the end of the day, as some of us have. And he says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I hate this. And then he answers the question. It's a rhetorical question. He answers it. He says, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says these words at the start of Romans chapter 8. These are incredible words. If I can find my text here. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And catch this. For the law of the Spirit, the aerodynamic law that the Spirit produces, this is the law of life in Christ Jesus, has set you free from the law of sin and death. If you think this morning I'm just inviting you, that Jesus is inviting us to throw our piece of paper hard and harder through sheer determination and effort in our own strength, then you've misheard me. Because you can't do it. You can't forgive as much as you want to. You can't love your enemies. You can't have pure eyes and hearts. You can't suppress the anxiety or the worry. You can't do any of that in your own strength. That is the work of the Spirit of God within us. And this week, as we reflect on the images of what a spiritually strong person looks like, maybe building our house on the rock is a helpful image for us. There's a piece of me would like to think that my spiritual strength is just 2-pound lifts. But let's be people who meditate on the Word of God day and night. Let's be people who tend to our soil. Let's be people who hold to Jesus. And let's be people who, by the grace of God and the power of His Spirit, build our houses on the rock. Let me lead us in prayer this morning. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you that you have made a way for us to know life and life to the full. Thank you that it's not entirely up to our ability and our strength, our wisdom and our cleverness, but that, Lord, your Spirit does a transforming work in our hearts. I want to pray for my brothers and sisters here, even as I would pray for myself, Father, that this week, if we've been building on sandy soil, you'd help us move things across to the rock. Father, we thank you for this word. This word from Jesus, this word from you that calls us to life full and abundant and free. We bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.